Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, and welcome to a new episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. Today, we're talking about Google's new podcast app. It's got a few weeks of usage at this point, and it could potentially be a move by Google to get a more firm footing into the podcast arena. Or it could turn out to be, like so many other Alphabet products, just a flash in the pan and then shuttered without a whole lot of warning. We're also going to finish up today with a quick piece on Rapsaccord, which is a new auto ad insertion tool that the Washington Post has produced, which is still in beta as of the time that we are recording this podcast.
And that's right, we're talking about Google's shiny new podcast app, what it does, what it doesn't, what it might, and what it likely won't do. I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And I'm Kim Stewart. And again, welcome to the newest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy.
If you're not familiar with the podcast, we were pretty much spend some time every other week talking about a few different topics, but they all have a common theme. They are built around mobile marketing and advertising and what it can do for your business.
That's right. Whether you're an online coach, you own a retail or service establishment, maybe you're in the real estate industry, the cannabis industry, or nearly any business where you actively market to your prospects and customers, we have designed this podcast for you. We try to keep the episode length in the 15 to 20 minute range, so we're not taking up a huge chunk of your listening time, and we do our best to give you valuable information and action items that you can easily implement without spending a fortune in order to grow your business and maintain healthy and engaged relationships with your current customers and your prospective new ones.
And you may not know a lot about mobile marketing, apps, mobile advertising, whatever, so before we get into the meat of this episode, I'm going to jump in here and give you the rundown of how you can leverage the power of Apple and Android to do the heavy lifting while you focus on your products or services.
That's right. Unless you happen to own an advertising or marketing agency, then you really want to spend your time on your business doing what you know, not trying to figure out how to do yet another new task in what's probably your already busy day.
Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification, and they have the ability to tap the backlinks, and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based, or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
As always, awesome, Hazel. That really does sum up the whole process in one neat little package.
Yep, I like to think so. I also want to bring up a couple of podcast episodes that are in our archives. These could be very helpful in deciding how to structure your promotions or campaigns and give you some really neat ideas to increase engagement and interaction with your target demographic. So episode 22, the 4 biggest mistakes when starting a new podcast. This one is chock full of kinds of good information that will keep you avoid costly mistakes when you're just getting going.
Right. And I also happen to like episode 10. Marketing podcasts with mobile wallets. If you're not sure how to integrate mobile into your podcast marketing plan, or if you really don't actually have a podcast marketing plan laid out yet, then this is the episode that kind of details it all for you, and it gives you pretty much a roadmap for success.
Oh, yeah. And last but not least, I would go to episode 33, Biggest Mistakes in Reading Podcast Stats. Stats are hard enough to understand as it is. After all, there is so much variation from platform to platform, and the standards aren't really there yet. It's very helpful to figure out how to best pitch your show to prospective advertisers in order to get the most from them.
All right. So with that said, let's get back on topic and talk a little bit about the Google Podcast app and break it down. So if you haven't already heard, Google has a new podcast app, which is now a completely separate app from Google Play Music, where the podcasts all used to live. And by the way, they do still live there. So I know sometimes it's super hard to understand how and why Google does things the way they do. It's almost like one hand doesn't know what the other has in it. It's kind of crazy. I mean, we've seen it with them for years with their wallets and their payment products. You know, they expand and contract and rename them almost as fast as I repaint the walls in my house.
And speaking of Google Play Music, don't the podcasts still live in that app as well?
Yeah, and you know, that's what makes it a bit on the crazy side. We published a blog article on our mobilewalletmarketer.com blog a few weeks ago. The article URL, if you want to go look it up, is mobilewalletmarketer.com/Google-podcast-app. So if you want to have a quick look at it, we wrote that one up back in June when the podcast app first launched. And if you're not really sure why you haven't heard of the Google Podcast app, that's because it really did launch pretty quietly.
And according to Google, I'm just reading this here, the company expects podcasts to bring the form to hundreds of millions of new listeners around the world. I mean, that's a rather lofty goal for a company that doesn't have much going on in the way of podcasts at the moment.
Indeed, it is. You know, if you look at Apple, who is the undisputed giant in the podcasting space as far as a tech platform, their stats say that they have more than 550,000 active podcast series. And I want to point out that that is series, not episodes, in iTunes. And they quoted this figure at their WWDC conference in San Francisco in June of this year. So that's pretty much nuts. They also say that they have more than 18 million individual episodes from all these podcast series.
Yeah, and we should clarify that Apple counts an active podcast as one that has updated in the past 6 months, which is just an astounding number of series in the wild. Absolutely incredible.
Right, and as we all know, it certainly does not lend itself to easy podcast discovery. Unless somebody has like a PRI or an APM type of budget to work with, and potentially they got to have a radio program to push it as well. I mean, chew on that for a while. You know, and when you look at the Google Podcast app, it really is sort of like an iTunes for Android. And when I say that, what I mean is that the Android users do not actually need to download an additional app. It's basically a native player for podcasts.
So this seems to be great. It's available outside North America. It's a native app, and Google thinks they are going to get millions of new podcast listeners with the app. That sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, and you know, it probably is too good to be true. You know, right now there are plenty of podcast platforms, especially the self-hosted ones who run on technology like Seriously Simple Podcasts, Blueberry, you know, some others. And a lot of these self-hosted podcasts are actually getting errors in the Google Podcast app. They weren't there initially, but we've seen them. We have seen quite a few complaints about it on several different support forums for the technology platforms. And there are also reports that Google doesn't seem to be able to figure out what the problem is or how to fix it.
Well, I also haven't seen Google doing anything in the way of promoting their new podcast app either.
Exactly. Neither have I. I mean, you know, there were probably a dozen sites that did write-ups on the new technology back in June, and now it's kind of gone like radio silent, pun intended.
Okay. Right. So perhaps just take a wait and see attitudes, since you know that if this thing actually gets legs, the plugin and platform companies will figure out what they need to do in order to get the compatibility right, or else they'll hound Google until they make the change that fixes it.
I know, right? I mean, surely if the big G thinks that they're going to bring on this tons of new listeners, millions and millions of new listeners, they're going to have to actually support the independent podcaster community. I mean, the people who are listening to podcasts like Serial or Joe Rogan or whatever, you know, these are not the people that are going to make a lateral move over to a new Android app in order to get their same content that they're already getting through Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, iTunes for Android, whatever. Yeah, that's kind of a pain in the butt to move.
Yeah, it is. It is a pain. So let's move on to Wrap Support. We also did an article about this new technology a few weeks ago, also on mobilewalletmarketer.com. The complete URL is mobilewalletmarketer.com/wrapsaccord-podcast-ads. So you can go there and take a look.
And just so you know, the correct spelling for Wrapsaccord is R-H-A-P-S-O-C-O-R-D. And Wrapsaccord is a new product that the Washington Post, which, as you probably know, unless you live under a rock, is owned by Amazon, who also owns Audible, I should mention. They've developed a new product, and it's in beta testing as of the time of this recording. So what it is it's a technology that has the ability to use a form of like adaptive or artificial intelligence to determine where in a podcast recording that ads can be inserted. So it then proceeds to insert the ads, splice the feedback together, and presents the episode with the ad insertions in there.
And what's so great about that ad again?
Well, okay, so the difference here is that unlike traditional podcast advertising, where ads are inserted into the recording one time, and they basically tend to stay in there forever, Rapsacord is an insertion tool, so it has the ability to swap out the ads as needed or as wanted.
So you mean that if a sponsor only paid for 6 months as a sponsor, after that time, the Rapsacord technology would swap the advertiser out for a new ad?
Yes, it is basically a tool that is set up to run just like banner ads on websites or TV ads, whatever. It's truly an insertion tool.
That's crazy. How are they doing it?
Well, right now it's still in beta with a couple of series and, you know, big series. They're using it for some Audible stuff. And they're going to try to figure out how to scale it up once they have success with it on the small scale. You know, again, I'm not entirely sure how this is going to affect small publishers or self-hosted podcasts. It's not exactly like trickle-down economics works in the podcast space.
Yeah, I didn't think trickle-down worked much of anywhere, except for maybe watering the plants on your patio.
Exactly. So right you are. So in any case, we'll keep you posted on news and updates around both of these two new pieces of technology as we get developments. Right now, it's pretty hard to say whether either or both will be successful or gain any kind of market share. It's even harder to say whether or not there's going to be a way and a means for smaller podcasts, self-hosted series to actually benefit from Rapsacord. And of course, we're going to hope that Google gets it together with the podcast app.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone dumping iTunes in order to not be able to reliably hear the next episodes of a series they like.
Right, totally agree. And with that, we are out of here for this week.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.